Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, maybe all the way through 11. As I preach in your hearing on this last day of April, and what an amazing Easter month it has been, as usual, very difficult. If human beings are not going to persecute you, the devil will. And he'll even use your family members and people you think are your friends and supporters. There's always a Judas in every Bible-believing church and ministry, at least one, oftentimes more than one. And it is, contrary to what people think, not easy to preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you attempt to do so, the devil will be on you like white on rice and black on me. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 15, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 744, by the grace of God, and we don't take that lightly, since January the 20th, 2017. If the addition is not correct, please check with my son, Daniel White, the fourth. He's the one keeping the records on this. Day 1,109, since January the 1st, 2016. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And as an evangelist called by God to be an evangelist from day one, I love this passage, as you can imagine. I believe every evangelist loves this passage. I believe every pastor who does the work of an evangelist can't get over this passage. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. By the way, I am afraid that many of our pastors today, and I say our pastors, I'm talking about pastors who are supposed to believe the Bible, evangelical, conservative, fundamental pastors, have lost an appreciation for the preaching, for the foolishness of preaching. And that's why we've gone to plays and skits and other such ridiculous things, excuse me, don't get mad at me, instead of the plain preaching of the gospel. Allow me to remind you that the first preachers of the gospel made it very clear that we're not going to do this and that. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Can somebody say amen? And the foolishness of preaching is still the most powerful form of communication there is known to mankind. Now, I, like all people who have good sense, love good movies. When a movie is done well and the acting is A1, I said when the acting is A1, I said when the acting is A1, no shady acting, no, don't get mad with me. There's nothing like a good movie to relax on, but the acting has to be A1 and the directing too. But that cannot and will not replace the plain preaching of the word of God. I want you to understand that. And every preacher under the sound of my voice needs to get back to the foolishness of preaching. That is foolishness to the world. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. You say, well, I want to know what else I'm saved from. Listen, that's good enough, really, to be saved from hell is big. That's huge. Okay? Because hell is forever. Your little problem you're having in this life is temporary. Okay? So being saved from hell is big time. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, don't forget what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, what did I preach unto you? Here you go. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's big time, people. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren. What a congregation. At once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The eyewitness testimony of over 500 folk. You cannot deny that. I don't care who you are. You would be acting like a fool to deny that. Excuse me. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me, a persecutor of the church. He was seen of me, Jesus was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul is saying, I ain't playing. I'm not playing. This is real. You got to understand, I was trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knocked me off of my high horse and saved my soul. I'm not playing with you. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. And that's how you ought to feel, preacher. Because I persecuted the church of God. May God deliver us from proud, puffed up preachers who think they deserve to be called a preacher, when we are all nothing but undone, wicked, wretched sinners. But by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I don't care how gifted a preacher may be, or how educated a preacher might be. Every preacher ought to have the attitude, you will not outwork me. That's one thing you will not do. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let God use you, preacher. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. The reason why we preach the gospel is for ye, for you, the people out there, to believe in Christ if you have not done so. Holy Father God, as you know very well, we are nothing without you. And we cannot do anything without you. Now, Lord, I know that there are many people who have born into a false teaching and a false doctrine that we are all that in a bag of chips. But, Lord, we're not. Have mercy and grace upon such wretched and undone people as we are. Not only were we sinners, we are sinners now. Bought with a price through the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Holy Son and our Savior, who died for our sins, suffered, bled and died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And then giving us privileges and opportunities beyond our wildest imagination is to stand here today, even to preach your holy gospel and to preach your holy word. Now, Lord, a storm is coming again in North Texas. We thank you for protecting us thus far this year. We pray that you would protect us again and everybody else. We hear the thunder rolling and the lightning will be flashing, but we look to you. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy a band of your holy protection, and place upon us the whole armor of God. Cover us in the precious blood of Christ. Forgive us and cleanse us of all sin. Make us fit for your use. Crucify our flesh and fill us with the fullness, the power, the unction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, rebuke and bind every Judas, every Sanballat, every Tobias, every enemy of the cross, every enemy of the gospel, who cannot stand the preaching hour and try to hinder it. And pave the way, a superhighway for the gospel to go out of here all across the country and around the globe. Lord, we hear from people all the time in Russia and Africa and other places. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach the gospel to the four corners of the world. And we pray that over 3 million souls would be saved, 3 million Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ uplifted, and Satan always horrified at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins, and at his holy name, for it is in his name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Dr. John Gill said, "We know that there was a very considerable body of antagonists to Paul, who ranked themselves under the banner of Apollos or of Cephas, that is Peter. Therefore, Paul, keenly conscious that he was speaking to some unfriendly critics, as all preachers do, by the way, hastens in the context to remove the possible objection which might be made that the gospel which he preached was peculiar to himself. This is why Paul said, 'I received it.' See, all humble preachers, all preachers who don't think so highly of themselves, they don't mind not being original in everything. Amen, somebody. We have too many young preachers today who want to be the originators of everything concerning the old gospel story, and they will never be. And so they, like one preacher did just last night, he was quoting somebody. In fact, he was quoting Dr. Packer. And he said, "Well, let me put it in my own words," what he said, what he quoted. That's what we want to do. That's how we like it. We want to be able to be at least halfway the originators of the thought. And quite frankly, it's evil as hell. It's rooted in our flesh, in our pride, that we have to be the originators of everything. And what happens is we have so many young preachers today who are trying to be the originators of everything. Number one, they steal from others and don't give them credit. They plagiarize and don't give people credit. Number one. Number two, trying to make up something new out of that which is old and cannot be changed, they look silly. We got preachers today who look silly trying to be the, you know, original one. And they make up stuff that just is absolutely ridiculous. We have one preacher right now and several others who are telling the whole world and telling the Christian church to unhitch itself from the Old Testament, trying to be cute, trying to be original, trying to start something. And that is insane. Unhitching the church and Christianity from the Old Testament is like unhitching the torso of your body from your bottom part, your legs. it's ridiculous. You're going to have a bad situation going on. For whether you like it or not, the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. And Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not, is a Jew who died for your sins and mine. Be that as it may, therefore, Paul, keenly conscious that he was speaking to some unfriendly critics, hastens in the context to remove the possible objection which might be made that the gospel which he preached was peculiar to himself, you know, because he said he was born out of due time, and proceeds to assert that the whole substance of what he had to say to men and women was held with unbroken unanimity by the other apostles. He said, I received it from them. Those who walked with Jesus and talked with him and even walked on the water with him, if you will, who ate the miraculous food that came from the lunch of a little boy, who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And so today, my beloved, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, and I hope we're ending this series today, but I kind of doubt it. Based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the historical, that includes the Old Testament and the New Testament, because when Paul said, based upon the scriptures in this passage, he was talking about none other than the Old Testament. And a historical text based on the Word of God called the Holy Bible that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church that Jesus formed. How that we as Christians who are falling away from it ought to return to it. And if that does not bother you, I feel sorry for you. Maybe you might not be born again. Maybe you are, but you just don't care anymore. We need to return to it. The old time faith, the old landmark. Find that song for me. I think Shirley Caesar wrote this song. Let's play it at the end. The Old Landmarks. I used to hear it when I was a little boy in New York City, in Brooklyn. And how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on Jesus Christ. For the most important thing, what matters the most at this point in time, as it has been for 2,000 years, is for people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not politics, not social problems or social solutions, but everybody believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Regarding the need for creeds in the church, Dr. John L. said, the need for theology and for creeds arises from two basic facts. One is the nature of man as an intelligent being. Amen, somebody. We got to be able to understand things. That's just, we are intelligent beings. It makes sense. Just because he is intelligent, the Christian of all men has to learn to discern with agonizing clarity what is conceivable by him about God. What cannot be thought through critically and expressed with reasonable clarity cannot demand the allegiance of man's whole being. This is so true. Understanding is necessary for man's full commitment. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, the eyewitness testimonies of over 500 people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead is so important and must be included in the gospel. Every time you present the gospel, you ought to mention that, not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but what happened after the resurrection, the people who saw him. This will stop a whole lot of questions. This will ease the minds of many intelligent people. You say 500 people saw him alive? And this is a fact? Yes, here it is right here. Bam! As a part of the gospel. All right then. I'm ready to get saved. I'm convinced. Hence, faith must be spoken, he goes on to say, and made intelligible. This is not to say that faith must be enclosed within the limits of reason. But God did say, come, let us reason together. He goes on to say, but it does mean that faith must require neither the closing of the mind nor the sacrifice of the integrity of the mind. End of quote. Amen, somebody. I have a friend by the name of Sammy Madison. He started a ministry called An Intelligent Faith, for a More Intelligent Faith Ministries. Why? Because he, like myself and many other black folk, we came out of churches that did not make the gospel plain. We came out of a tradition of whooping and hooping and hollering and entertaining, but no clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no clear preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God, which is and which was a tragedy. Thank God a lot of that has changed. In this series, my beloved, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God for, in the words of Sammy Madison, for a more intelligent faith. You don't have to throw your mind away to believe on Christ. You need your mind. Don't lose your mind. God said, let us reason. Come, let us reason together. Let me talk to you. Let me show you. Let me convince you that I'm real and that I'm the only God. For we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. You need your mind to get a hold of that, and faith in God. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. You need your mind to get a hold of that, because that's a historical fact. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene, and by the grace of God, God gave me the liberty to add this. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Now let me just say something that I touched on the other day about Mary Magdalene and the women seeing Jesus first. I know a lot has been said about how that Jesus liberated women, and through this women can be called to preach the gospel because they were the first ones to deliver the message to Peter, John, and the disciples. And they may have a great argument about that. But I believe it speaks more to the fact that if men are not going to live up to what they're supposed to live up to, God will use the women. In other words, I believe that because the men fled, the disciples fled and were in hiding, the women who were still at the cross when he died and then went to the tomb to do what needed to be done for the body that was not there according to the angel. You're looking for Jesus, but he has risen as he told you. God honored the women for being faithful to him, seeing him die, staying there, and then being the first ones to the tomb, which the disciples should have stayed at the cross, and the disciples should have been the first ones at the tomb. So you can use that to say that Jesus liberated women and that women can preach over men all you want to, which contradicts the word of God. Men ought to be the preachers of the gospel. There are prophetesses and women who can preach, called to preach, but it's not to rule over men. That's out of order. But you can use it if you want to. But I believe this is what happened. That God, and see, and every good parent knows what I'm saying to you. If the boys don't rise up and do what they're supposed to do, a good father will say, okay, girls, it's on you. Here you go. Take it and run with it. See, I've done that. When my oldest son did not rise up and do what he should have done, I say, all right, girls, naturally it's supposed to go to him, but he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Okay, you take it and run with it. And that's what I believe happened. No one is trying to make a statement here either way. But I thought I'll share that with you. That's all free, by the way. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue looking at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Trinity, whom Jesus promised would come to indwell the first disciples and all who believe on him. As I mentioned to you on yesterday, I had to go yesterday. And so I'm back today by the grace of God to finish this portion, at least, of this series and of this message. In John 15:26, Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, my God, what a great system of grace. Whom I will send unto you from the Father. This thing was well planned out. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And this is where I left off yesterday. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. through which God manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't understand exactly how the Trinity works. And by the way, there's just some things you're not going to fully understand about God and how he works. What he reveals to you, understand that. But after all, he is God now, okay? You're not. You're not. Okay, he is. Okay, so, you know, you're not going to understand everything. But here's what I say. I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. And I thank God for it all. I thank God for his wonderful system of grace. And I truly believe that if people get born again, they don't have all of these questions in most cases. They simply believe. I believe truly born again Christians have no problem whatsoever with the Trinity and other difficult things to understand. They just believe and they're thankful. And see, and the Holy Spirit is the one who does that inside of you. But we believe in it because that is what the Bible teaches. Dr. Wilbur Smith said, "The man who denies the Trinity will lose his soul. The man who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind." My. Our finite minds cannot understand the nature of the Trinity or the Holy Spirit, but let us look briefly at what Scripture reveals about the purpose and the person of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And since the Holy Spirit is a person, he can be offended by you and by me, by the evil things we think, by the evil things we say, by the evil things we do. That's why if you're born again, you feel badly when you say certain things. Amen, somebody. When you do certain things. Amen, somebody. When you think certain things. Amen, somebody. That's not just your conscience. That's you're offending and grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Only born again folk know what I'm talking about right now. So based on Jesus' words, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the Holy Spirit of God came to glorify Christ and to lead believers into the truth and to help believers lead others into the truth to be saved, to be born again. Sometimes I think particularly we in evangelical churches and ministries, Bible-believing churches, conservative churches, believe that we have just as much to do with people getting saved than God does in the Holy Spirit. And I think not. We may have 1% to do with it, but we need to do our part. But it's all God, my dear friend. It's all the Holy Spirit of God moving upon the heart of somebody to be saved, man. That's some heavy lifting. Our job is just to do what I'm doing right now, presenting the gospel to people. It's up to the Holy Spirit to move upon a person's heart to convict them and to convince them to trust Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of each person who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and receives Jesus Christ and accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, the free gift, and acts as an agent of verification in our hearts and minds. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives lets us know that we are truly born again. We are truly saved. And one of the ways he lets us know that is by convicting us of sin, which before we were born again, we were not convicted of. If you were like me, I thought it was a sin not to sin, not to do crazy things, not to go to the club, not to shake your behind parts, in the words of Cassandra Stanley, in the dark, holding a flashlight, talking about flashlight. It was a sin not to commit fornication. It was a sin not to commit adultery and all that kind of stuff. And to get drunk. We used to kid people who did not do that and joke them and told them that they were squares and they were not hip. They were not in the in crowd if you didn't do stuff like that. I was never convicted of sin when I was lost. How about you? I was convicted when I was not sinning, if you will. But the Holy Spirit of God will convict the Christian of sin, my dear friend. You just can't. That's why I don't worry about people who are truly born again. After a while, God's going to get you. God's going to deal with you. It's just a matter of time for you to submit and surrender and quit your mess. And many wise people, like Dr. John McNeil, they'll let you just go ahead on and run your course. They won't say anything to you at all. Won't even warn you because they know it's no good. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you to do that. They let you go right on and keep on doing your mess until you learn the hard way. There's some folks you can't tell them because they won't listen. In fact, if you tell them, they're going to do it even more. They're rebellious like that. They're stubborn like that. I'm talking about saved folk. They're pharisaically proud like that. You warn them, and they put on their face a duping delight grin like they're listening, and they have no intention on doing what you're saying. And they're going to suffer the consequences because your job is to warn them. But the Holy Spirit of God, if they're truly born again, will deal with them. I'm not worried about any man in the church being addicted to pornography. Every man will be tempted. Many women will be tempted. But you're not going to live in an addiction to poverty and call yourself born again and saved. You're not going to do it. You can't do it. It's all a lie. It's all a charade. Now, lost people who are religious can get addicted to that and many other things. But a truly born again child of God, God will deal with them, first of all, by convicting them. Second of all, he will chastise them. And God is very convincing when he chastises. He does not play. Let me help you. You don't want to, listen to me very carefully. Listen to, read my lips. You don't want to get God started on you. Okay? No. No, 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 no. You don't want that. Oh, you can say like I said before, I was chastised by God. Oh, I can handle God's chastisement. I just don't want your chastisement. I don't want you getting on my case. I can handle God. God is loving. That's how foolish I was thinking back in those days. Until God got a hold of me. And he chastised me. Because see, now here's the deal with God. It's going to be very thorough. Do you hear me? When God chastises you, it's going to be real. And you're going to go out talking about, please pray for me. I'm suffering tribulation. I'm suffering for the cause of Christ. I'm being persecuted. No, 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 Negro. No, no, no. And I'm talking to white folk and black folk and red folk and yellow folk. No. That's a lie, and you know it. God is chastising you. And let me hip you to something. He's not going to quit until you understand. And if you refuse to quit, he'll take you on home because he's not playing now. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, my dear friend. He's nobody to play with. You can play with your parents, but you can't play with God. Amen, somebody. No, 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 no. Now, I know many of you don't believe me, but keep on going your way against God, not surrendering to God, and you will find out the hard way. So, beloved, have you ever been listening to someone or reading something and it seemed as though something inside of you was warning you about that person or telling you that what you were reading was not true? Have you ever been there? That is the Holy Spirit of God at work inside of you. God loves you so much, he has a warning system inside of every little lamb warning you about false preachers. Something just doesn't sit right. You can't put your finger on it, but something just does not sit right about that preacher. or about that person. And the devil will send these people in your life. They look like Christians. They dress like Christians. They drive a Christian car. And they will try to claim to help you. And all the while, they're taking you down the drain. But the Holy Spirit will warn you and give you discernment and protect you from the evil one. John 16:13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. You say, preacher, how can you proclaim the gospel as an evangelist and do a little teaching on discipling issues and just leave it and let people get saved and you preach to people all around the world and so forth and so on? Because you know why? Once a person truly gets saved, God will guide them. I'm not worried about it. We will do everything we can to help them from this end. But we're not their God. We're not the Holy Spirit. I am convinced that once you are truly born again, the Holy Spirit of God will guide you, even in the most difficult and dire circumstances and situations. My job as an evangelist is to proclaim the gospel. A pastor's job and a teacher's job is to disciple the saints, and God will guide them as to where they need to go. If they can't come here, and if their country is under persecution, they can continue underground to listen to me preach the word of God. Most Sunday mornings I do discipleship teaching and preaching as well. You know why I do that? Not because it's my job, but I do it because many pastors don't do it well. They don't take the young Christians through a systematic study of discipleship issues, as they should. Not all, but many. And so, beloved, we learn the truths that God wants us to learn because the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The late Dr. Bill Bright said, that is, was the president of Campus Crusade for Christ, did a great job. He's now in heaven. He said, the Holy Spirit inspired holy men of old to write the scriptures. As you read the Bible, he reveals its truth to you. Yes, he does. And by the way, may I add, he does it in stages. You can read the whole, in your first year of being saved, you can read the entire Bible, as I did, by the grace of God. The next year you can read again, you're going to see things you never saw before. And every year you read the Bible, you will see things you never saw before. Passages that you read 100 times, you will see something new in it every time. That's the Holy Spirit of God for you. That's the richness of the Word of God for you. I read passages of Scripture, he said, that I have read many times before, and suddenly, at the moment I need a particular truth, a certain passage comes alive to me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God relevant and meaningful when I need it. And this is why you need to be in a good Bible preaching and teaching church. Because I assure you that if you, and go faithfully, because I assure you that every time you go, God will give you exactly what you need. Even though the pastor is preaching only one message, you will get something, get a nugget out of that one message. It is amazing how it works. It's a part of God's system of grace, as I call it. It is a living book inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And only Christians who are filled with the Spirit of God can understand the true meaning of God's word. Maybe you had this experience like I did. When I was young and lost and on my way to hell, we had a big old Bible. Big old Bible, you know, in the black family, everybody, you know, had a big old Bible, had a picture of Jesus on it, had a picture of Jesus on the wall, all that, you know. Huge Bible, bigger than this pulpit here. Huge. Many black folk use the Holy Bible as a birth certificate register. A register. Okay? I was in awe of this huge book. And so, you know, I say, well, I want to get some wisdom. I want to be smart. And I would set out About two or three times in my life, I set out to read the entire Bible. And I was lost as I could be. And I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 1. I didn't understand it. But then when I got saved, December the 19th, 1979, someone gave me a little Bible. And I began to read it. And I was understanding everything in it. Why? Because I was born again. I had the Holy Spirit of God guiding me and teaching me. I read that little Bible in tiny little print all the way through. And I was just amazed. I was blown away with what I learned. Because I was saved then. I had the Holy Spirit of God in my life. The Holy Spirit also helps us to live pure and God-honoring lives by convicting us of sin and convincing us of sin, moving us to agree with Him that what we just did was wrong. Amen, somebody. See, if you're not agreeing with God and Jesus that what you're doing is wrong, when He convicts you, then there's something wrong somewhere. When He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Have you ever thought about doing something wrong or began to do something wrong or to think about something wrong and a voice seemed to speak to you telling you not to do what you were going to do, telling you very in plain terms, don't do that, don't think stupid like that, don't say what you're getting ready to say, because once you say it, I'm going to convict you of it and you're going to feel bad about it and we're going to have broken fellowship, not broken relationship. See, the first way God chastises us is through a broken fellowship. Broken fellowship with Him is a terrible, terrible thing. It's a terrible feeling. And it will never be healed and fixed until we confess our sins and repent. Get our hearts right. And then that pain may not go away that day. That pain may still last, even though you confess your sins and you repent it. Sometimes it don't go away at all because He knows that you have not truly repented, because He knows you're going to do it again. Until you truly repent, by any means necessary, that fellowship will not be brought back in line as it should be. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Holy Spirit of God at work on the inside of you. That's why I don't worry about Christians. If you're born again, I ain't worry about you. You can do it God's way, or you can learn it the hard way. It's up to you. And most wise preachers, most wise pastors like Dr. John McNeil, he can see you doing your evil. He knows what you're doing. He knows where you are. He knows you're messing up your life, and he's not gonna say a thing. For most of us, for most people in the pews, He's going to let you go right ahead and learn it the hard way, because He's learned down through the years. You can try to warn people, trying to go running around, trying to catch people before they fall and mess up. And He's learned after many years that people, generally speaking, got to learn it the hard way by being chastised by God and humiliated and embarrassed and broken by God. And that's why we sing sometimes and we pray sometimes, Holy Father God, break me, make me, and mold me to be what You would have me to be. And I feel sorry for those people who have that thing in them, the Pharisaic pride that they never learn. No matter how much they're rebuked, no matter how much they're chastised, they never learn. They die in their sins and their wickedness, with broken fellowship with God, broken relationships with others. These are the Judases of the world. Religious, but lost. And I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true. And you have some in your family. You have some in your churches. We cannot live holy lives without the help of the Holy Spirit. For as the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. How about it, dear Christian friend? Where are you? Where are you on this? Do you have love in your heart for all people? Or do you have hatred? This is why I know racists are not saved. Amen, lights. We got people protesting and fighting and doing this and all that and talking about this, that, and the other about people who are full of hate. in the church, talking about how that we ought to reconcile. We've never been reconciled. What are you talking about? You cannot be a racist and hate white people and hate black people and hate Jews and hate red people and yellow people and call yourself a born-again Christian. It's impossible. The only reason why I'm not out there marching and stomping and holding up signs against racism and prejudice because I got saved December the 19th, 1979. And I believe every born-again Christian does not have a trace of hatred in their hearts for anybody. Black or white or red or yellow. That's why I expect the same respect from white Christians as I do from black Christians. And if I don't get it, there's something wrong. It has nothing to do with race. As somebody said very aptly, it's not a skin problem, it is a sin problem. Can somebody say amen? Amen, lights. It's not a skin problem, my beloved. It's a sin problem. Watch this. In this day of hatred, in this day of Charlottesville, I love all white people. In fact, white people, generally speaking, have been good to me. I love all black people. Generally speaking, black people have been good to me. I love all brown people. Generally speaking, in fact, even more than generally speaking, Mexicans have been good to me. It's the way you look at it. And I thank God for white folk, black folk, brown folk, yellow folk, red folk, only because of Jesus. And I believe everybody who's born again, who's truly saved, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with God's love, will love everybody. I know of a couple right now, they know they should not allow me the privilege that I have right now to be living where I'm living right now. They know it could hurt their community and their business. But the wife made it very clear, we are here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody doesn't like it, then they can leave. That was her attitude. We're here first and foremost to glorify God, to glorify Jesus Christ. I would not enjoy some of the privileges that I have right now as I speak if it was not for some white folk who said, I don't care what the white people or the white races think. We're here for God first. We are a Christian organization. You know why she did it? Because she's truly born again. And she has stood her ground against opposition and has welcomed us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that has been the story of my life over the past 40 years. Have I suffered racism and prejudice down through the years? Yes. I was referred to as a nigger preacher by an old white preacher one time in my home church. He didn't see me back there. But he ran back and said, let me tell you a story that a nigger preacher said. He said, did you leave your church? No, because he was a visiting preacher. The pastor ran to me as fast as he could. Said, Pastor, brother, I'm preaching. I'm sorry. See, he was truly born again. He was saved. Everybody in the church is not saved. Be that as it may, the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what's going to happen to you if you're born again. You're going to have this in your heart. I feel sorry for you if you don't. You're going to have love. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have long suffering. You'll be able to put up with people's mess, even Judas's. You're going to have gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. One of the meekest men living today is Tony Evans. It's not him, it's Jesus. He's taken a lot. He's taken way more than I would ever take. But God has used him to change the fabric of our nation regarding race, particularly in the church. It would be worse without him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the storm is approaching, when Jesus finished his work on the earth, He wanted his followers to know what they had the power to live, that they had the power to live like him and to continue the work that he had begun. The Holy Spirit was sent to be an inner guide for us as we carry out the great commission of Christ and live like Christ in this sinful world. Millie M. Lawhead said, "He has come, the Holy Spirit, to my longing, waiting heart. He has come, and like a fountain, joy and gladness upward start. Often would he hover over me, waiting me to let him in. Sweetest words of promise whisper, 'I will cleanse you from all sin.' Then I bade him search the temple and reveal to me my need. Now at last he makes me holy. He is dwelling there indeed. Like the dew, oh so refreshing, yet so gently he has come, and he fills me with his presence, makes my heart his blessed home." Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the storms that bring the rain. You know what we need. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect us in it once again. Surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Cover us in the precious blood of Christ. Place upon us the whole armor of God. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. And forgive us of our sins of grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit as Christians. Forgive those who are lost of the sin of spurning your Holy Spirit, resisting your Holy Spirit. Oh God, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. Lord, revive us again by the power of your Holy Spirit from the inside out. Break the band of wickedness and evil and sin in our lives with the crushing hand of your Holy Spirit on our hard hearts, our willful ways, our pharisaic pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and foolishness, the flesh within us that wants to sin instead of humbling ourselves and to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, we pray and we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Manifest the fruit of your Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. And help us to submit to the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. Have those who are lost to submit to the convicting power of your Holy Spirit to be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin, the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. Get your life, your eternal life, your eternal life insurance policy that has been signed by the blood of Jesus. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sins. John Singleton died yesterday because of his sins. Luke Perry died because of his sins. Billy Graham died because of his sins. I'm going to die soon because of mine. We're all going to die unless I'm taken in the rapture, which I prefer. We're all going to die because of our sinful nature and our sins that we have chosen to commit against God. And our bodies are going to be put into a grave or cremated or thrown into a massive heap because of our sins. Our soul, which lives forever, will go to a place called hell or the lake of fire. And yes, dear friend, there is a hell. Contrary to what many preachers have said, many people have said, there is a hell, my dear friend. A hell to shun, a heaven to gain, your soul to be saved. Jesus Christ made it very clear, and you need to accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven because he loves us. He wants us to be saved from hell and saved to heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of darkness, yet burning fire. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place that once you enter hell, you will never get out. So please don't go to hell, dear friend. All you have to do is receive the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shalt be saved. Let me tell you, live the good life by trusting Christ as Savior. I wouldn't trade it. I've been saved now for 40 years. I've been serving Christ now for 40 years, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Trust Christ as your Savior before you die. And as John Singleton died yesterday at 51 years of age, a young man, you don't know when you're going to die. Luke Perry died the other day, a young man. There may be something going wrong in your body right now. You don't know what it is. Somebody said the first sign of a stroke is the stroke. The first sign of a heart attack is the heart attack. You might have an earthquake going on in your body and going on right now, and you don't know why. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what is happening, and will not know until you die. Death is taking out people who have money and who have the best health insurance known to mankind. Why not you? You can die at any moment. Trust Christ as your Savior. Just the other day, some folks were sitting in their car, and a crane, a huge crane, one of the biggest cranes I've ever seen in my life, fell down on them while they were sitting in their car innocently, and they're dead and gone today. God is trying to get your attention. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to be saved. Yes, from many of the other pressures and problems of life, through the peace that he gives, but from hell ultimately, so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. So just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. And here's God's promise for you. "I shall never forget these words, for these are the words that moved me to get saved, convinced me to get saved, December the 19th, 1979. Some of you were not born then. "That if thou shalt confess, Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. You didn't hear anything about joining a church. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to walk in front of a crowd of people. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to run around the church. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to give the preacher a dime. You don't have to even get baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross went to heaven. He went to paradise that same day with Jesus. Never got down and got baptized. Never signed a membership card. He was born again. He was saved by faith in Christ. And that's all you have to do is look to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. And he'll do the rest. He'll help you to be what you need to be. So pray and ask him to save you today, believing in your heart that Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Pray and receive him into your heart as the free gift that he is from God. And let him change your life. He will do it. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me what is called the sinner's prayer or the prayer of salvation. A simple, short prayer. Receive Christ into your heart. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have done wrong in your sight and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied many times. I've lusted after people and things many times. I've been envious of other people and their things. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. I have disobeyed my parents. I've stolen things before. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've committed crimes against heaven. And I understand that I deserve the prison of hell. And just like a criminal today deserves prison for his crimes. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake. And because of what he did on the cross. He suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins. As the sacrificial lamb of God. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And the best way I know how, I believe in him with all of my heart. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. And to turn from my wicked evil ways. And to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. And for your sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, dear friend, if you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Or wherever you are in the world, on whatever site you're on, we have over 1,000 plus sites around the world. And email us and let us know that you trusted Christ as Savior. And we have some free material that we want to send you via email that will help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. By God's grace, we love you too. And may God bless you real good. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.